the second part in our series on the Rav's Yahrzeit Shiur, his insights into Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos, Sheni v'Chamishi. The Rav presents a breakthrough in understanding the Rambam about Shmiyas HaTorah, that Moshe Rabbeinu's Takona, as the Rambam formulates in Perek Yud Beis, was to establish Shmiyas HaTorah. In regard to Torah Shvichsav, there's a special cue of Shmiyas HaTorah without even understanding it. You don't understand what you're hearing, but there's a cue. And the Rav bases himself on a few proof texts. First of all, the parsha of Sefer HaBris, at the end of Parshas Mishpatim, Vayikach Sefer HaBris Vayikra V'yozne Ha'am. What you have here is an action of reading the Sefer HaBris, which is parts of the Torah, and by reading them, generating a gerus of Knesset Yisrael, the kiyum was Kriya and Shmiya. Vayikra b'yozneam. There's no necessity to assume that every member of the people who entered into this covenant understood exactly what they were reading. The second proof is from the midst of Hakel, where the Torah establishes that once every 7 years, the king, the Melech b'Yisrael, reads the Sefer Torah from Sefer Dvarim publicly in front of Klal Yisrael. The Gemara explains in Masechet Chagiga that the men come to listen and learn, the women come to listen, and the children come to give reward for those who bring them. And the Rambam codifies this halacha based on the Sugin Chagiga in the third parak of Hilchas Chagiga. And at least with regard to Gerim, the Rambam says explicitly, She'enon makirim, they don't understand the language, but rather but they are obligated to come and join in the kiyum of Hakel, lahachin libam, lahachiv oznam, lishma. And the emphasis here is on Shmiya. Once again, a reading of Torah Shebichsav, a kiyum of Torah, without understanding, just reading. And the third raya is from the mitzvah of reading a Megillah, which is read in Lashon Kodesh, even though people don't understand the language. It's a kiyum of the act of Kriya and Shmiya. Because with regard to Torah Shebichsav, there is such a kiyum, and the Rav is going to find a source for that kiyum of mitzvahs Shmiyas Torah Shebichsav in a pasuk in Dvarim Lamed Aleph. We'll see that in just a minute. But I would like to make the following comment. It seems to me that all three of the cases, the sugyas, the mitzvahs that the Rav quotes, are kiyumim that do not generate a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Meaning, if the Rav is trying to prove, he's trying to establish the kiyum of Talmud Torah, in the case of Torah Shebichsav, through Kriya and Shmiya without Havana, I don't know if he's justified in demonstrating that with these three parshias. First of all, the parsha at the end of Mishpatim of Knisas, Klal Yisrael Lebris, that's not a kiyum of Talmud Torah at all. The mitzvah of Hakel is definitely a separate independent mitzvah. It's not Talmud Torah. It's counted in the Tayag in its own, enumerated as its own mitzvah. And furthermore, women are included in the mitzvah of Hakel, although they're not included in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Shinantum lenecha, bonecha velo benosecha. In fact, Taf would not be included in a kiyum of Talmud Torah. Apparently, the kiyum of Hakel is much greater and much broader in its own independent state. And the Rambam talks about being mezareis the people. It's a mitzvah of Yira and Ema. The Gil Berada, the Rambam quotes the pasuk. It's almost a reenactment of Maimed Har Sinai. But it's not necessarily a kiyum of Talmud Torah. And in the case of Kriyas HaMegillah, that certainly sets itself up as an independent mitzvah unto itself of Kriyas HaMegillah. It's not a kiyum of Talmud Torah. But rather, I think what the Rav has in mind is that if reading Torah Bichsav and hearing it and not understanding it would be meaningless, if it's just a surface-level mechanical act that has no status in the Torah, then it could not possibly be a candidate for fulfillment of a mitzvah Talmud Torah. Being that hearing words of Torah as they are read, in the case of Torah Shebichtav, is meaningful, although admittedly meaningful for other Kiyumim, not for Talmud Torah. At least that paves the way for the possible suggestion that there is a Kiyum of Mitzvah's Talmud Torah with regard to Shmias Divrei Torah. Again, you can't prove that, but it would be nonsensical to talk about a Kiyum of Talmud Torah if it was meaningless. But since we see over and over again, three times over, that it's meaningful to hear words of Torah, in the case of Torah Shebichtav, we can make that jump, that leap of faith, and say that it also generates a Kiyum of Mitzvah's Talmud Torah. With regard to Torah Shebaal Peh, we know for sure, without doubt, that hearing is not a Kiyum. It's not meaningful to hear something that's Torah Shebaal Peh without understanding it. The mitzvah of Torah Shebaal Peh is certainly Limud and Havana. Those are the prerequisites. The Rav makes reference to a very, very fascinating Rashi. People don't realize this, aren't aware of this Rashi. Rashi in Brachos on Daf Vav Amud Beis, in the case of Schar Yarcha Merutza, that the schar that people get for coming to join in hearing the drush of the Chacham is the Merutza, is the effort that they put in to get there. Says Rashi, why don't they get schar for Talmud Torah? Because Ruba, most of them don't understand the Torah in a way that they could be mamid girsa v'lomar shmua mipi rabam lachar zman. In order for them to have a full-fledged kabbalah schar as limud Torah, they would have to be able to not only understand the Rebbe's Torah, but also to reconstruct it, to pass it on, to transmit it to others. That's a phenomenal chidush of Rashi. But one thing is clear, that with regard to Torah Shebaal Peh, namely the drasha of the Chacham, you must have Havana. That's the basic requirements in Torah Shebaal Peh. Now, here on Kuf Samach, where we want to pick it up, the Rav, quotes a parsha in Dvarim Lamed Aleph as the source for defining and formulating this new mitzvah. He says, V'ata kisvu lechem es hashira zos, and then the Torah says, Sima b'fiem. Later on, the Torah says, V'onsa hashira zos lefanav le'ed. And the Rav says that there are two distinct mitzvos here, or kiyumim, in Torah Shebichtav. The first is Sima b'fiem, and that requires just a mechanical act of reading and hearing the Torah. And then there's V'onsa hashira zos lefanav le'ed. And there, it's limuda, it's the understanding of the Torah that's indicated by that part of the pasuk. You cannot convert a shira to an aid to testimony if all you have is a mechanical kriya. As far as the first kiyum of Sima b'fiem, the Rav quotes a different Rashi in Masechta Brachos, where Rashi explains why the Gemara, why Chazal used the word mikra to refer to Chumash, and Rashi says, Chumash mitzvah likros b'Torah. Mikra, the word mikra indicates kriya. Mikra milashon kriya. And Mishnah means understanding. So when we get to Torah Shebichtav, we have something called mikra, which means even reading without understanding. When it gets to Torah Shebaal Peh, it's got to be Havana, which the Rav calls Tfisa Vishinun. Vishinantum Vech Shiyu Tirei Torah B'chudon V'ficha. The Rav invokes the Sugya in Kiddushin Daf Lamed to prove that Shinun and the mitzvah Vishinantum Levanecha requires Havana. Shiyu Tirei Torah B'chudon V'ficha. The Gemara interprets Vishinantum as the capacity of one who studies to be able to answer any question that comes up. Obviously, that would be ridiculous, it would be impossible without Havana, without understanding the Torah. As far as the first kiyum of Sima b'fiem, of Kriya b'li Havana, which we said applies only to Torah Shebichtav, but it's meaningless in Torah Shebaal Peh without Havana, so the concept of Mikra as opposed to Mishnah is limited to Torah Shebichtav, Then we have the mitzvah of the Onsa Hashira Zosli Eid, which means a kriya with Havana. We understand very well that the second kiyum of reading Torah Shmatzav and understanding it integrates and forms one whole with the mitzvah of Talmud Torah regarding Torah Shbal Peh. There's one mitzvah of Limud Torah Shmatzav and understanding it, that means studying the commentaries, together with Torah Shbal Peh. That forms one indivisible unit. However, with regard to Torah Shbal Peh, and here I quote the Rav, his beautiful language, he says, "Im ani korei pirush Torah Shmatzav," if I'm reading a commentary on the written Torah, that already has to come under Torah Shbal Peh. "Oh, mivatei divrei Torah Shbal Peh," or I express words of Torah Shbal Peh, like the Mishnayos, the Gemara, etc., etc., bisfasayim, with my lips, reading them, v'ene mevinam, ein li shum kiyum li b'Torah Shbal Peh. That would be, with regard to Torah Shbal Peh, a mechanical act that's natul kiyum. It's completely devoid of any kiyum mitzvah. Because what is Torah Shbal Peh, says the Rav? It's a pirush of Torah Shbal Peh. And this we'll find in the Rambam at the beginning of his Hakdama. He says, "Upirusha," interpreting the Torah Shbal Peh, "zu Torah Shbal Peh." So if you're interpreting and you don't understand, then you're not interpreting. But that's called pirusha, which pirusha means and entails havana, understanding. We have now a fundamental difference between Torah Shbal Peh and Torah Shbal Peh. Torah Shbal Peh generates two different kiyumim, and those two subcategories, those two branches of Torah Shbal Peh, are indicated in the parasha under Sima Befiim, that's without havana, and under Vyonsa Shira Zosli Eid under Torah Shbal Peh havana. Torah Shbal Peh always absolutely requires havana. And now we're ready to move ahead in understanding the nature of Takonis Moshe and the relationship between that Takona and Takonis Ezra. There's no question that Takonis Moshe relates to the kiyum, the fulfillment of a mitzvah Talmud Torah through Kriyas Torah Shmiksav, reading and hearing the words, even though there's no limit, there's no understanding. We don't need, as far as Takonis Moshe is concerned, to understand the meaning of the words. Even the Pirush HaMilos, we don't have to have in our minds in order to fulfill a chova, an obligation which is kriya, which is defined by reading. That's the takana Moshe Rabbeinu. In a sense, Moshe Rabbeinu's takana is a mirror image of the mitzvah of Hakel. Just like everyone, even those who don't understand the kriya of the melech, when the king reads the Torah publicly, nevertheless, that's a mitzvah of Hakel, as we saw before with the Gemara in Chagiga, the Rambam Hilchos Chagiga, the third parak. So too, we have, with regard to kriyas HaTorah, b'sheni b'chamishi, the kriya of Moshe Rabbeinu, the takona, to hear words of Torah. And even though we don't understand them, it's similar to the Hakel paradigm. And we have a kiyum asima b'fiyam. So Moshe Rabbeinu did not establish his takana on the shoulders of the Onsa Shira Zosli Eid. It's not an outcome or an outgrowth of Limud HaTorah, which connects Torah Shbal Peh and Torah Shbal Peh to one unit. That wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu's purpose, but rather his goal was to establish the reading of Torah Shbal Peh, which, as we said, is a kiyum of Sima B'fiyam. And we saw it by Melech with regard to the Kriya once every 7 years of the parish of Hakel. Moshe Rabbeinu, according to everything we've just said, certainly would not institute a Targum. A Metargem serves the role of interpreting Torah Shbal Peh. That already falls under a different category. That's the category of Torah Shbal Peh, which is integrated into Torah Shbal Peh. But since Moshe Rabbeinu is interested and focused on the goal of the first kiyum of Talmud Torah, namely Torah Shbal Peh without Havana, therefore he doesn't introduce the requirement of a Metargem. If you might ask, though, why is it that with regard to Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur, according to Takanas Moshe, why is it that there was no requirement of Havana? Why was Moshe Rabbeinu satisfied with Kriya as a mechanical act when he could have expanded it to include understanding and Pirush, Havana and Limud, Torah Baal Peh? What was the source for Moshe Rabbeinu? And the Rav suggests that if we read carefully the Brisa in Bava Kama Pei Beis, we'll have an answer to this question. Tanya, Vayelchu Shloshes Yomim Bamidbar Velo Matzu Mayim. And the Gemara Darshins Ein Mayim El Torah Shenemar Havi Kol Tzomei Lechul Mayim. The Gemara establishes Kevin Shalchu Shloshes Yomim Velo Torah Nilu. The people of Israel, after they left Mitzrayim and they journeyed for 3 days, there was no Torah to saturate their dryness. Nilu means they were in a state of fatigue. Amdu neviim shebehem v'tiknu lehem sheyu korim b'shabbos, mafsikim b'echad b'shabbos, korim b'sheni, mafsikim b'shlishi v'ri, v'korim b'chamishi. It was a potential catastrophe if 3 days would go by without Torah. And that's why Yolinu, that's Velomatsu Mayim, that's Nilu. There's a desperate need for Torah. It's impossible to go three days without Torah. It's sort of like, how long can you go without water? How long can you go without Torah? Ein mayim ela Torah. But the question is, the Gemara wants to find an underlying reason, an explanation for Takanas Kriyas HaTorah on Sheni V'Chamishi based on Ein mayim ela Torah. Why didn't the Gemara just simply say that Moshe and his Beis Din instituted for the benefit of Klal Yisrael Kriyas HaTorah B'Sheni, B'Shabbos B'Sheni V'Chamishi? Do we have a deeper understanding of the nature of the Takana as a result of this Medrash of Ein Mayim El Torah? The Rav here wants to make a breakthrough. His revolution is that what this Brisa, this Drush, is trying to reveal to us is the underlying fundamental basis, the Yesod, for the reason and the nature of Kriyas HaTorah as it was established by Moshe. And in order to understand the nature of this Kriya and what motivated this Takana, we have to know what it means, Gimel Yom below Torah, below Mayim Ein Mayim El Torah. And at this point, the Rav in the Drasha takes a complete turn, I would call it almost a digression, into the laws of Tefillin. He's got a Kasha and a Teretz and a Chiddush about Tefillin. He's going to break down Tefillin into various component parts, 2 dimensions of bits of Tefillin. From there, he's going to come back full swing to Talmud Torah and try to explain what Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to accomplish by instituting a mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur without Havana as a mechanical act of Kriya and Shmia. So put on your Tefillin now. I mean, put on your thinking caps about Tefillin. The Rambam, in a very atypical statement in the 4th parak of Hilchos Tefillin, Halacha Chaf Hei, is Marech. The Rambam gives a long, detailed, dramatic explanation about the impact of Tefillin on a person who wears them. And he calls here our attention to a concept called the sanctity of Tefillin. How great is the sanctity of Tefillin, and what impact does it generate on the person who wears the tefillin? And the Rav is going to be perplexed. Why is the Rambam emphasizing in great detail the impact of tefillin? And not only that, the Rambam is going to use this description of the impact of tefillin on the one who dons them to explain a halachic conclusion as to how long and when a person should wear tefillin. Now, the question of how long and when a person should wear tefillin is an independent halach question that should be determined not by some philosophical presentation or thesis about kedushas tefillin, but simply because that's the way the halacha formulates. The obligation of tefillin is whatever it is. The Rambam is very strange. And the word lefichach is what the Rav wants to call our attention to. Kedushas tefillin, kedushas angdoli. How great is the sanctity of tefillin? The Rambam is going to compare it to the sanctity of a tzitz that's worn on the forehead of the Kohen Gadol. Says the Rambam, calls manche tefillin berosh shel adam ve'al zro'o. How much of an impact does tefillin have when he dons them on his head and on his arm? Says the Rambam, as long as he's got the tefillin on his body, hu anav, he's humble. V'yirei shamayim, he has fear of the Lord. Eino nimshach v'schok v'sicha v'teila, eino ma'ar v'machshav v'sros. He's not drawn to a low level in terms of his thought process, making light, brevity of life, wasting his words, thinking thoughts that are evil. Ella, what kind of mental, emotional state is he in? Mefano, mefano libo lidivrei, bidivrei emes v'tzedek. All his focus is on Almighty God and God's Torah, words of truth and justice. Lefichach, therefore the Rambam derives halachic conclusion, tzarech adam lishtadel liyosan olav kolayon. An individual should try as hard as he can to wear his tefillin the entire day. What's the lefichach here, says the Rav? And then the Rambam, just to confuse us, says mitzvos and kachi. Well, if it's mitzvos and kachi, if that's the nature of the chiyuv, if that's the scope of the chiyuv of tefillin, if I'm obligated if tefillin fits into that category by its very nature of those mitzvos that are constant mitzvos, then why does the Rambam feel compelled to be toles atzmo, to attribute this chiyuv and to derive this chiyuv of mitzvos on lios olav kol hayom, an ongoing, constant obligation to a tefillin? He derives it from the sanctity of tefillin. He doesn't need the sanctity of tefillin. If that's the way the mitzvah of tefillin was given, if it was defined by the halacha as an ongoing mitzvah, what does he need this philosophical, inspirational discussion about the impact of tefillin on a person? And in order to answer this question, the Rav first takes one step in elaborating on his question. And this elaboration will perhaps project us towards an answer to the question. Sometimes if you sharpen the question and it comes under a certain focus, a sharp focus, keen, then you're ready for the answer. The Rav says that when we look at the constellation of mitzvos, we can talk about one category of mitzvos where the mitzvah is obtained immediately upon implementing a particular act of a mitzvah. For example, in Tilus Lulav, Mide Ad Bein Nafik Bei, as soon as you lift up the lulav of the Dalad Minim, you fulfill the mitzvah, you've obtained the mitzvah, that's it. Ball game over. You don't have to run around with the lulav in your hands. It's not like the mitzvah extends itself beyond the pu'ula, the action. So too in Tekiyas Shofar, in Matzah, in many, many mitzvahs, the mitzvah begins and ends with a particular pu'ula, an action. However, there is another category of mitzvahs where there's no limit and there's no bound to the fulfillment of the mitzvah. It extends and continues endlessly. And as long as a man is involved in the mitzvah, so the Rav's language is kolzman she'adam osek b'hen, in these mitzvahs, yesh b'yadu kiyum ha-mitzvah michadash. It's almost like the mitzvah renews itself constantly. The Rav does not give a specific example of this, but he applies this second category and the logic that underlies it to tefillin. He says tefillin belongs to the second category of an ongoing mitzvah because it is defined as such, fundamentally, as a kiyum masmin, an ongoing, continuous kiyum. But the Rambam when he tries to determine which of the two categories tefillin fits into, is it just don the tefillin, take it off, and you're finished, gandik, or is it an ongoing mitzvah, a kiyum masmid, the Rambam really sweats it out here. He puts in a great deal of effort to find some sort of underlying reason to explain why tefillin is different than other mitzvahs, like lulav, shofar, matzah, etc., and requires a maximizing of the mitzvah of donning the tefillin, keeping it going. And he comes up, as we said before, with this musa shmuz about the great impact and benefits one gets from wearing tefillin with regard to his feelings, his thoughts. He's mefana libo ledivrei emes and tzedek and so forth. Well, what does he need that explanation for? Why not just say that tefillin fits under this category? And the Rav suggests that the answer to this question, in typical Briska style, is that there are really, in fact, two dimensions, two fulfillments of the mitzvah tefillin. We think of tefillin as one flat, continuous mitzvah. No. We can break up tefillin into two dimensions, two kiyumim. Number one, the kiyum of hanocha, meaning the act of putting the tefillin on. That's a kiyum pa'ula. And in that context, we can certainly classify tefillin under the category of mitzvahs like lulav and shofar. They all belong to one set, to one group. But there's another additional kiyum to tefillin. Now, at this point, if we were to cover the Rav's words, you know, the written text here, and ask ourselves what would be the second dimension of tefillin, it's nice that the Rav already has told us that, has taught us that. So perhaps we would answer in a very flat way, without getting too profound, and say, look, tefillin is an ongoing mitzvah. It's not just a ma'isa hanocha. It's not just a kiyum pa'ula, you know, do the action and then take off your tefillin immediately, but it's an ongoing wearing of the tefillin. So tefillin has two dimensions, the action and the state of being that results from that action. With regard to the second, the latter variable or factor, we have really an ongoing mitzvah, because since wearing tefillin puts a person into a state of being, it's not the pu'ula, but rather what we would say, the totza'ah, the result, or the matzah, the matzav, the situation that you're in. Well, that situation is an ongoing situation. I mean, moshe l'ma dover dome, you have the mitzvah of kiddushe isha, for example. So there's a maisa kiddush, but there's also a chalos ishus, which is ongoing mitzvah. Okay, that maybe you would say he doesn't get a mitzvah every moment. Maybe bris milah, you know, the Gemara about David HaMelech, that he was so happy. Meaning, the mitzvah of bris milah is not just the maisa, the kiyum pu'ula of doing the milah, the chituch, etc., but it's also having the state, being in the state of being of mahul, in Yiddish we say gemalt, that itself is an ongoing kiyum of milah. But the Rav comes up with a very sophisticated, very profound formulation of the second dimension of tefillin, namely the ongoing dimension, having the tefillin on you. And his choice of the word kiddush in this regard is very significant, because keep in mind, ultimately he wants to come full swing back to explain the Rambam, who speaks about kiddushas tefillin and the impact of that kiddush on the person. In any event, the mitzvah in its second dimension is kiyum hagavra, being ma'utar b'tefillin, having the tefillin wrapped around you. You know, it's wearing the tefillin. And in order to demonstrate how this second kiyum is a fulfillment, is an expression of kedushas tefillin that sanctify the gavra who's wearing them, the Rav quotes the famous principle called karkafta d'lomanech tefillin. Meaning, someone who has never been me'utar b'tefillin, Rachmanu Litzlan, is missing something fundamental. Tefillin makes a change in a person. That's why a karkafta d'lomanech tefillin is a different person. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, and the Rambam quotes it in Hilchos Tshuva in the third perek, describes a karkafta d'lomanech tefillin, someone who never wore tefillin in his life, to a poshea Yisrael Begufo. Now again, from the fact that someone who doesn't wear tefillin is is lacking something in his personal status, and he becomes classified as a poshe Yisrael begufo, then the flip side, the positive side, would mean that someone who wears tefillin has a level of kiddush insofar as he's ma'utar b'tefillin. Now, you know that we're learning the Yartzeit Shir from Chelik Aleph, and there's a Chelik Beis. In the Yartzeit Shirim and Chelik Beis, on Kuf Chaf Vav, 126, again in the old printing, the Rav says that Kedushas Yisrael shall gavra machal Shabbos nivgemes, and his din is that of a mumar. It would be interesting to see if we can make a comparison between the Rav Shir in Chelik Beis regarding the Kiddush HaGavra of Shabbos, which is a principle that the Rav derives from the fact that if one is not observing the Shabbos, there is a chilul of his Kiddusha, and his Kiddush Yisrael, as a result of the fact that it's Mechuleles, gives him a din of a Mumar. So the Rav derives in the flip side that if violation, desecration of the Shabbos is pogam, it undermines his Kedusha, he becomes a mumar who's lacking in Kedusha Yisrael, then once we know that the negation of Shabbos creates afkas Kedusha, then the positive fulfillment of Shabbos would create a new positive force of Kedusha. So Kiyum Shabbos is Mekadosh Gavra. And now getting back to our discussion, that was just to find the parallelism in the Rav's thinking, here in tefillin, is wearing tefillin, in addition to being a mitzvah of hanocha, is also mekadesh the gavra. And the proof again is, for the fact that someone who doesn't wear tefillin, has a kedusha peguma. He's called a karkaftul omanach be tefillin. Now as a result of this discussion about two dimensions in the mitzvah of tefillin, we can understand Rabbeinu Tam in Tosfos Brachos Samach Amud Beis that we recite two brachas on Tefillin Shel Rosh. Keep in mind that at this point in the presentation, the Rav is assuming that the Kiyum HaGavra in Tefillin is limited to and generated by the Tefillin Shel Rosh. And now it makes sense that Rabbeinu Tam recites two brachos on the Tefillin Shel Rosh. And what are those two brachos? La niach and al mitzvah tefillin. Because there are two kiyumim that the two brachos correspond to the two kiyumim. The first kiyum is hanocha, which is not different than any other ma'aseh mitzvah that generates a kiyum mitzvah in and of itself. And therefore, when one recites the blessing of la niach tefillin on the act of putting on the tefillin, anochas tefillin, like any ma'aseh mitzvah, he has to make a second bracha then, on the second kiyum of tefillin, and that's al mitzvah tefillin, which is a bracha related to the dimension of hachtoras hagavra, which really means putting a crown on the head of a person, meaning changing his status by sanctifying him. And this second bracha is limited to Tefillin Shel Rosh. Why? What's unique about Tefillin Shel Rosh? So the Gemara in Menachos quotes a brisa that interprets a pasuk in Dvarim Chav Ches that says, "V'ro kol amei aretz ki shem Hashem nikra alecha v'yiru mimecha." Rabbi Elazar HaGadol omer elu Tefillin Shel Rosh, emphasizing Tefillin Shel Barash to the exclusion of Tefillin Shel Yad. So what's being said here about Tefillin Shel Rosh is that for Ro Kol Ami Oretz, there's a special dimension and a cube to Tefillin Shel Rosh, which requires, according to Rabbeinu Tam, a second bracha. That bracha is recited on the Kiddush HaGavra, the sanctification of the man, of the individual who recites, who wears his tefillin, and specifically Tefillin Shel Rosh. Now, the Rav has a long footnote here in which he discusses the Rambam about Al Zro. The Rambam says, Kolzman Shetfil Barosha Shalodim Vial Zro. referring to the tefillin shel yad. So the Rambam holds that the itur and the kiyum kiddush is when the person is wrapped in tefillin, meaning the entire set. You know, he's got the tefillin shel yad around his rosh, he's got the tefillin shel rosh on his rosh. He's muhtar, and he's going to get that kedusha, that ongoing, you know, energy force that's injecting him with kedusha. Tefillin shel yad, on the other hand, only requires one bracha. If you hold, not like the Rambam, but like the Shita Rabbeinu Tam, that the Kiddush HaGavra, the second key of the second dimension tefillin, is limited to tefillin shel rosh, based on the pasuk V'ro kolami oretz ki shem Hashem nikra olecha elu tefillin shel barosh. This would be fascinating to analyze the Chiddush of the Rav from the perspective of Hilchas Tisha B'Av. The Rambam quotes in Hilchas Tainius a certain minig not to wear tefillin shel rosh on Tisha B'Av. What's the emphasis on tefillin shel rosh? Why the exclusion of shel yad? And the answer is that tefillin is antithetical to avelus insofar as tefillin is makadish the gavra. Avelus of Tisha B'Av is not the day that's appropriate for Kiddush HaGavra, Pe'ercha Chavush Alecha. And Kiddush HaGavra is related to Tefillin Shel Rosh. I mean, how that plays itself out in the context of Avelus, I don't know. Now, in explaining, in projecting Rabbeinu Tam's view that there's a fundamental difference between Tefillin Shel Yad, which only has one Kiyum, and Tefillin Shel Rosh, which has two kiyum, the additional kiyum being the Iter HaGavra and the Kedushas HaGavra through tefillin. So the Rav emphasizes that the Gemara says, establishes in Rosh Hashanah that we mentioned before, that someone who never wore tefillin is called a karkafta delamana tefillin. The karkafta, the emphasis on the shel rosh, meaning the Kiddush HaGavra is through the shel rosh. And this person who didn't wear his tefillin shel rosh was pogeh in the kedusha sagavra. He was pogeh his kedusha because he didn't wear tefillin shel rosh. Again, all these rayas fit in very well to Rabbeinu Tam's sheet of the Rambam when he discusses here in Perek Dalet the kedusha's tefillin. He mentions the tefillin al zro. Maybe it's the rosh. It's the tefillin shel rosh which really clinches and generates the kiddush hagavra, but the tefillin shel yad, insofar as it accompanies the tefillin shel rosh, expands and clinches that kiddush hagavra, gives it a shlemus, a certain perfection. But perhaps even the Rambam would agree that the real power and the agent that generates kiddush hagavra is the tefillin shel rosh. And in this context, we understand the shitas harosh that is quoted in the Torah in Aruch Chaim, Siman Chafei Nilchus Tefillin, that the rosh would be medagdic. He was very careful when he was putting on his tefillin that he would recite the bracha Oter Yisrael B'Sifara when he got to Tefillin Shel Rosh, because Tefillin Shel Rosh is considered pe'er. So this all fits into a very neat package of Kiddush HaGavra through Tefillin Shel Rosh. And when you put on Tefillin Shel Rosh, you add this bracha according to the Rosh of Oter Yisrael B'Sifara. Now it's interesting that the Nusach HaBracha between the Shel Yad and the Shel Rosh shifts. In the case of Shel Yad, the bracha is Lehaniach with a Lamed. In the case of Shel Rosh, the bracha is Al Mitzvah with an Al. Perhaps we could say that Al is like Al Netilas Lulav, which means that it's on the kium rather than on the maisa. So whereas in the case of lulav, if I were to be mevarach on the maisa netila, I would certainly use lashon litol es halulav. But the bracha shifts to the kiyum mitzvah, which is the result of the action, and the bracha is al netilas lulav on the kiyum mitzvah. And the Rambam explains at the end of Hilchos Brachos because he's already picked up the lulav midag bei nafik bei. Same logic would apply to Tefillas Ger. He's already gone into the mikveh. He's already really clinched his gerus. The bracha now is on the chalos, on the ongoing impact of the tefillah of the gerus. Here too, the bracha al mitzvah tefillin is on the ongoing impact of kiddush hagavra through tefillin shel rosh. So the bracha it's a very beautiful pshat why the bracha shifts from lamed to al. I also want to call your attention to footnote 4, which we're not going to discuss at great length here, but the Rav assumes, and it's a famous yisod that the Rav uses over and over again, that the mitzvah of chinuch for a katan only applies when the katan reaches the level, the age, that he can fulfill the mitzvah b'shlemus on the highest level. And therefore, in the case of tefillin, it would have to be that he appreciates the kedushas tefillin. And therefore, he's shomer es ha-tefillin. The fact that he can do the technical, mechanical act of hanuch, of donning the tefillin, would not put him into the category of chinuch, because he hasn't yet matured to the level we can reach the full capacity of the mitzvah b'shlemus of tefillin, which includes not only hanuch, but kiddush ha-gavra. I just want to give you a marum makom in terms of the Rambam regarding Tisha B'Av and Tefillin Shel Rosh. It's Hilchas Tainius Perek Hey at the end of Halacha Yud Aleph. Now we come back to explain the Rambam in Hilchas Tefillin Perek Dalid, and hopefully then go on to find the parallel to Talmud Torah, so we can get back to Takonis Moshe Rabbeinu. The Rambam in Perek Dalid Hilchas Tefillin, which the Rav thought was very strange, because the Leficha connects the Kedushas Tefillin discussion, that Musa Shmuz, with Tzarech Adam L'shtagel Lios Olav Kalayom. The answer is that what the Rambam wants to do is formulate and establish the underlying reason for the second dimension of tefillin, namely Kiddush HaGavra. And since the Rambam has established that a person, when he wears tefillin, he is totally impacted by this Kiddush in the tefillin, that he now becomes sanctified and uplifted as a Kiddush HaGavra, Lefichach, therefore, we can understand that the mitzvah of tefillin is an ongoing mitzvah. Meaning that every second that you wear the tefillin, the power, the pump is working. The pipelines are bringing to you more and more kiddush, more and more sanctification through the tefillin. The Rambam says, Amru Olav al Rav, Talmido Shal Rabbeinu HaKodesh, Kol Yomav lo ra'u shacholach dalet ames, below Torah, below tzitzis, below tefillin. Now let's focus on the last three words in the Rambam, lo tefillin. It means that Rav always wore tefillin, and that is because, according to the Rav, he was under the influence and the impact of Kedushas Tefillin. He was trying to fulfill the obligation of being sanctified through Kedushas Tefillin, which is something ongoing, not just the Maisa Anocha, but a kiyum of being Ma'utar B'Tefillin, of having a Tefillin on you. So too, in the case of Tzitzis, the mitzvah is not just putting on the Tzitzis, but the mitzvah is to have your body enwrapped in tzitzis, surrounded in tzitzis, and that too will apparently sanctify the individual. That's the Kiddush HaGavra of tzitzis. So tzitzis should, according to the Rav, require two brachos. And we would make a note here, why is it that tzitzis has only one bracha and not another bracha for the kiyum of me'utar b'tzitzis? So that has to be understood. In the case of Torah, perhaps we could suggest that there are two brachas on the mitzvah of Torah, one on the act of studying Torah as a ma'aseh mitzvah like any other ma'aseh mitzvah, and that's lasok v'divrei Torah, and an additional bracha on the kiddush hagavra of that results from Talmud Torah. And this is what the Rav is going to pick up now, that in Talmud Torah, like tefillin, there are two dimensions to the mitzvah, and you don't exhaust the mitzvah by simply studying the Torah, but also by being sanctified through Kedusha Torah. Then we're going to have to ask, well, what kind of Torah and what kind of Talmud Torah has the capacity, the ability of sanctifying the Gavra? And that's going to bring us full swing back to Takanas Moshe Rabbeinu. But first, we have to see how the Rav's Tzvei Dinim or Tzvei Kiyumim in Tefillin, those two dimensions to Tefillin, the Maisa Anocha and the Kiddush Gavra, as a result of being a Gavra Me'utar B'Tefillin, how does that lead us into Talmud Torah? What's the connection here between Tefillin and Talmud Torah, such that we can anticipate that just like tefillin has two dimensions, just like tefillin has, in addition to the Maisa Hanoch, it has the Kiddush Hagavra, so to Torah somehow is in the shadow of tefillin. And it has, in addition to the first dimension of the Maisa Mitzvah, it has another dimension of Kiddush Hagavra. So to find that link, the Rav analyzes the words of the Mechilta at the end of Parshas Bo on the Pasuk Zikaron Beineinecha. L'man Tia Torah Hashem Beficha, says the Mechilta, Mikan Omra Meniach Tefillin Ki'ilu Korei BaTorah. There's a strange formula, a strange equation that is assumed by the Mechilta. And that equation is that Tefillin equals Torah. And therefore, one who wears tefillin has obtained kriya b'torah. And the Mechilta derives halacha l'maisa a practical implication, and that is that a korei b'torah potim in a tefillin. That one who's doing not tefillin that is equivalent to Torah, but Torah mamash, he's doing the genuine, the real thing of learning Torah, he's potim in a tefillin. Why? Because tefillin and Torah form one entity. One kiyum. And the Rav quotes Rabbeinu Yonah at the end of the second parak of Brachos, who says the following, Afal pisha mitzvah tefillin yesh ba maisa, vayanira she'ena nidcheis b'nei alimud. Normally, if we apply the universal yardstick in terms of osik mitzvah, potim in a mitzvah, the exception to which is Talmud Torah, we would say that you have to drop your Talmud Torah for the sake of a mitzvah. In this case, if you're learning Torah and the time for tefillin has come, you'd have to drop, you have to curtail and terminate your Talmud Torah for the sake of the mitzvah of tefillin, as you would do for any other ma'isa mitzvah, unless you could send someone else through the mitzvah, which obviously doesn't apply in the case of tefillin. The language of Rabbeinu Yonah is very telling. He says, "Afilu hachi b'mechilta aminim shemish osik b'torah potmen atfillin aminim osim time of the milsa." And to elucidate this principle in the Mechilta, Rabbeinu Yonah invokes other statements in the Mechilta, the expanded version of the Mechilta, which says, based on the Pasuk, the Tefillin Ksiv Lamantia Torah Hashem Beficha. So the Torah outlines or specifies exactly what the nature and the accomplishment of Tefillin is, Lamantia Torah Hashem Beficha. Says Rabbeinu Yonah in his beautiful language, Kevon shetam atfilin, mipnei atorah. The reason for tefillin is because of Torah. So it's like Torah is kind of like the Siba, and tefillin is the Mesovev. Torah is the Ikar, and tefillin is sort of like a method through which we arrive at Torah. But Torah is the Limud Torah itself is the primary mitzvah. So if he's Osek, if he's dedicated day and night to the study of Torah, is that would replace tefillin. Okay, the Rabbeinu Yonah goes further than that, but I think that's all we need for our purposes. The equation here between tefillin and Torah, to the extent to which someone who's learning Torah is potter in tefillin, in the case of Noshim, we say that they are exempt from Talmud Torah, and they're also exempt from tefillin. That's not coincidental. The tefillin-Torah equation reflects itself in many different ways. So the Rav says, Kishem Shiesh Kiyum Kaful B'Tfillin. Now that we've established an equation between Tfillin and Torah, the next step is to say that to the same extent that there's a double dimension to the Kiyum of Tfillin, so to Yeshno Gam B'Talmud Torah, there's a double Kiyum in Talmud Torah. And here's how the Rav formulates it. Number one, Anu chayovim lilmod Torah ulaharbos biyidiyasa. Now, it's the intellectual act of Torah study for the purpose, the goal of which is to acquire, achieve Torah knowledge. And number two, says the Rav, chayev adam lios muchter b'divrei Torah. Somehow the Torah enthrones him or crowns him and changes him, transforms him into another individual. That's what we call Kiddush Hagavra. Therefore, the Rav says, "Anu mevarchim shtei brachos." Now we can justify the two brachos on Talmud Torah. We discussed this earlier, but let's see how the Rav formulates it. Number one, lasok b'divrei Torah, and that's on the pu'ulas ha-mitzvah of esek b'Torah. insofar as Talmud Torah, like any other mitzvah, has a definite, limited Maisa mitzvah. But then there's a second bracha of Harevna Hashem Elokeinu Divrei Sorosko Befinu. V'niya Anachnu V'kulanu Yodei Shmecha V'lomdei Sorosech L'shma. That bracha corresponds to Hashpas Divrei Torah Aleinu, meaning the Gavra as he's impacted by Torah study. And therefore, we say that the Torah of Harevna should be sweet in our lips, in our mouth, meaning that through the Talmud Torah that we study, we should merit a hizdakakus hanefesh, some sort of cathartic purification of the soul. Ulei chashev kinose shem Hashem. It'll convert us as we learn Torah into those who carry the banner, wave the banner of the name of God, the Shem Hashem. And just as the Rambam describes the impact of tefillin on a person, so too we have to anticipate the impact and the influence of Talmud Torah on a person. And in the bracha of Arevna, we emphasize the word Lishma, which is the last word in the text of the bracha itself before you get to the Chasima. And what we understand is that the word Lishma at the end of the bracha of Arevna is focusing, is circumscribing Talmud Torah and pointing to that dimension of Talmud Torah which sanctifies the Gavra. That's called Torah Lishma. That uplifts the Gavra. And the second bracha is on that Torah Lishma. And that's an ongoing, continuous mitzvah. The longer and the more I learn Torah, every second of Talmud Torah achieves this goal of Kiddush HaGavra if we fulfill the proviso that it's Torah Lishma. And that's the second bracha. Says the Rav, our mitzvah therefore is not just Yediyas HaTorah, but also Yediyas Muchtar Bet Kesed Torah. And therefore the Kinyan, the Brice of Kinyan Torah in the sixth parak of Olos makes sense. Rabbi Meir Omer Kala Osek by Torah Lishma. He who dedicates himself to study the Torah for the sake of Torah. Not in order to upgrade himself in the eyes of the people, get himself a special status and stature, a new name. That's not what he's interested in. He's interested in Torah Lishma. Says Rabbi Meir, Zochel Edvarim Harbe, and he gives you an entire list. He enumerates many different things that a person will merit as a result of his askus b'Torah Lishma, his preoccupation and dedication to the study of Torah Lishma. And on the list is Nikra Rea, Ahuv, Malbashto Anova, V'yira, U'machsharto Lios Tzadik V'chule, etc., etc. These words that the Rambam formulates here in describing the goal and the impact of Torah Shebaal Peh are almost identical to his words in Hilchos Tefillin when he speaks about the Kedushas Tefillin and the impact of Tefillin on the person. And perhaps, says the Rav, the words of the Rambam in Tefillin are derived, and if we wanted the source of the Rambam, they're derived from Talmud Torah, meaning from the Brisa of Rabbi Meir, Ha'osek B'Torah Lishma Zochel Dvarim Harbi. Tefillin uplift a person just like Torah. When a person studies Torah, when he wears tefillin, he is uplifted by it. He's on a different madriga spiritually. And now the Rav is ready to come back to the question of Kriya without Havana. And the thesis that the Rav is going to present here, that Moshe Rabbeinu instituted Kriya without Havana, because that is all he needed to achieve his goal, Moshe Rabbeinu's goal, when he instituted Kriya Satorah and Shmiya Satorah, was to be Mekadesh, every Gavra of Klal Yisrael, every member of the community of Israel, through Torah Shebichsav, the power of Torah Shebichsav to Mekadesh and Gavra, is a very fundamental power which underlies the whole nature of Takanas Moshe Rabbeinu. So we're going to stop here. Mirtz Hashem will pick this up next time and elaborate. There's also a piece that we skipped, which also seems to be an independent piece in Hilchos Melachim about a melech and the laws of a king and his relationship to a Sefer Torah and to Talmud Torah, the concept of Yisrael Musa Nefesh and the impact of the Torah on a person. But really what we're up to here, if you want to make a note of it, is on Kuf Samach Dalid. The discussion about Kiddush HaGavra through Kriyas HaTorah without Havana. That's what I would call it. And that's going to explain why the Rambam emphasizes Shmiyas HaTorah and why the Darshei Reshumos quoted in the Braisa in Bava Kama that we saw before speak about Mayim and Ein Torah, Ein Mayim Ela Torah, and Gimel Yom Below Mayim is going to cause a certain leus, a certain spiritual fatigue, if you will, a dryness that can only be helped. The moisture that has to solve the dryness is Torah, but the Torah that's necessary to achieve this goal of Kiddush HaGavra, of addressing the leus of going in the Midbar 3 days, is not the Torah of Havanas HaTorah. That was an impossibility at that particular moment in history before the Torah was given. But at the very least, it's Kriyas HaTorah with Shmiyas HaTorah without Havana, and that itself will achieve Kiddush HaGavra. So Blinetta will pick that up next time.